I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe, Dirk Wales. He's writer and director of many films, including an award-winning series called Wearing Masks, which was geared toward doctors and nurses working in hospitals, and it's about addiction and the use and abuse of prescription drugs and hospital drugs. His website is called getunhooked.net. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I'm pleased to be here.
It's a very interesting subject. Everybody's heard about opiate and prescription drug addiction, but something that I had never heard about was addiction to general anesthesia drugs that on the part of the anesthesiologists themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is not a well-known part of it all, and it's important to separate my two activities because they're not related. When I was working, and essentially most of my wearing mask programs were funded by the American Association of Nurse Anesthetists, who were very concerned about this issue. So my films were primarily funded by them, and we were dealing with physicians and nurse anesthetists who were using or misusing, if you will, their own anesthetic drugs, which would be fentanyl, Sufenta, were the primary problems, and then others. And then we have to separate that from after I got the National Media Award from the American Society of Addictive Medicine, and I became aware and was given a lot of information about misuse of prescription drugs generally in America, and I did a lot of research, and then I've created the new program, getunhooked.net. You can see all the information, the warnings, the dangers. There are three doctors who are addiction specialist physicians and a pharmacist who have video clips that will talk about the difficulties of this addiction. So there are two different things here, and we don't want to get them mixed up.
Well, let's talk about the anesthesiology piece first. How is it that doctors and nurses involved in this are so vulnerable? I mean, yeah, the drugs are there, but why would anybody want to take anesthesia recreationally?
Well, I think we have to understand the stresses and strains of medicine. I started this whole series in 1994. I was friends with Tom Hornbein, who at the time was the chairman of anesthesia at the University of Washington Medical Center in Seattle. He and I were friends, and we'd made films before, and he's an amazing guy, a kind of a living, walking legend. And he called me up one day, and he said, you know, Dirk, we have a kind of a problem here. In the last 2 years, between 17 and 19 young anesthesiologists, residents, have killed themselves from overdoses of our drugs. Now, it's important to note that a resident in a medical center is under enormous stress. They take an enormous workload. There is a lot of extra hours. And this is a very difficult thing to do that you have to do until you can become a full physician. So the stresses and strains of that get to people. So that's one half of the equation. The other half is people have discovered, after they've been treated usually for pain management, that the pills that are given to them, the difficult drug is Oxycontin, that when they get through with that, they notice that they've been feeling pretty good on the pills, and they find ways to stay on the medication, which is dangerous. One of the problems is that these drugs, prescription drugs, are given to you by a physician who gives you a prescription. And so if the doctor gave it to you, it must be okay. And these people bend the doctor's intent by continuing to use them, often without the doctor's permission.
I think it's really striking that you made a couple of videos about the anesthesiology problem among doctors and nurse anesthesiologists. And then 10 years later, you made a follow-up, and one thing that was that kind of blew me away was one of the people in it was a physician who had a close friend who had died, an anesthesiologist, by taking too much medicine, by overdosing himself. And then years later, when she'd sort of risen through the ranks as a doctor and there was a fellow who was acting a little strangely, and she said, I never would have noticed the signs unless I'd been through this with this other guy. And in fact, you know, he denied it, but in fact he was taking hospital drugs. They did an intervention and he went on to live a normal and happy life. But so much of it is about actually seeing the signs.
That's crucially important. And that's why the first thing that we did when we were doing wearing masks was you did a chart of the signs and symptoms of addiction and posted them in every operating room that we could find. The first thing that I did when I learned about prescription drug misuse was to create with three doctors a chart of the signs and symptoms of misuse of prescription drugs and get them everywhere that we could so that people, doctors, could put them on the walls in their office and talk to their patients and all that kind of thing. It is a problem because we don't have a good communication channel to the world at large.
What are some of those signs and symptoms?
Obviously, the people who are most in touch with each other are family members and friends. So the first chart of the signs and symptoms is interaction with family and friends. And there are five warning signs: a change in attitude toward family affairs, overall irresponsibility, canceling and withdrawing from activities, abrupt changes in normal routines and behavior, and increased time alone or hiding from friends and family.
Now, have you known people and seen people yourself where, you know, you've made charts like this, you've played the role of communicator and trying to get these things in doctor's offices and waiting rooms? Have you also, like, been able to use them with people you know, like identifies, I've got a friend here or a relative who's having trouble?
No, I have never identified any friends.
Now, back to the addiction question, there are also some real red flags that doctors might see in patients who are addicted. And I would like to say here that there is a real use for very strong pain-killing medicine. I mean, I've had surgery, I took that stuff, didn't make me feel good at all, it just took the pain away, never got into any of that addiction, and I think the vast majority of people probably take those things for their intended purposes, don't and never will have the kind of addiction problems that we're talking about, but percentage.
I agree with that, but what seems to have happened in our country is that the people who feel like they want to continue this kind of feeling have become an epidemic. I was at a program, a national program, I think, in Washington, and a person from the government got up with this huge chart and showed how the incursion of misuse of prescription drugs in America has gone so far and so high that it exceeds deaths from automobile accidents.
Is that right?
So we do have an epidemic here.
So what are the signs and symptoms that doctors might notice in their patients?
In interaction with physicians, there are certain things that a physician could see or a person could see or a family member could see. For instance, if you're seeing multiple doctors, maybe that means you're doctor shopping for prescriptions. If you're doctor shopping for prescriptions, then something's wrong.
The doctor themselves wouldn't necessarily know that. The doctor might not know that the person's going to multiple doctors.
That's right. That's right. That's why it's a danger. There, a doctor might see a perfect patient who has all the perfect symptoms to be prescribed a certain drug because the patients know what the symptoms are.
Because they've Googled it.
Yes, right.
Very interesting.
Then there are people who flatter doctors and say, oh, you're so wonderful and all this kind of thing, and I just admire what you're doing, and somehow they end up with a prescription because they become friends and the doctor is not as careful as a doctor should be.
If you're an individual, not a doctor, you see something going on in your family, one of the first things that people do when they see signs and symptoms is try to pretend that they're not there or find other reasons for them. why the person might be doing that. I mean, there was in one of your films, there was a young widow with two children. Her husband had killed himself with an overdose of drugs, of hospital drugs. And she actually saw needle marks on his arms covered with makeup from her bathroom that was on his clothes. And she still didn't really cop to the fact, I mean, didn't really quite
now
what to do.
You have put your finger on one of the key reasons why we made the Wearing Masks films, because we knew there were situations like that, and we knew there were family members who didn't understand what was going on. And so we made the Wearing Masks films so that we could not only talk to hospital personnel, but hospitals would get family members together for a big showing so the families would understand what the signs and symptoms were. That was one of the key aspects of the first Wearing Masks program.
Now, did you get any feedback from people that this actually helped them or made a difference in their ability to see what was going on around them?
Yes. Yes, we did. Obviously, none of this is publishable.
Right.
So, yes, we know it, and we know it happened, and there are stories. And one of the things that we wanted to do at the time was go public with this, but obviously that was a violation of people's privacy and family things, so we couldn't do that.
If people need help for themselves or their loved ones here in northern New Mexico, what's the best thing for them to do?
Well, one of the best things to do is to identify the internal problems of a person they may be with or themselves that are going on internally in the body as a result of misuse of prescription drugs. A little more irritability than a person is used to or expects, mood alterations, highs and lows, a certain amount of unpredictability about their behavior. Isolation, of course, is always a problem no matter what, because people take themselves away. And in the area of personality, a certain amount of self-centeredness or intoleration of discomfort of other people is also a sign of you're having some prescription drugs problems. What's behind all of this?
And it's so tricky because all of those symptoms are symptoms of a lot of different things. It doesn't mean that the person necessarily has a prescription drug problem. Irritability and mood alterations and self-centeredness and things like that are kind of the human experience. So noticing that stuff and diagnosing it correctly is tricky business.
I think that's right. But on the other hand, there's a large population in northern New Mexico and everywhere else about people who are married or people who aren't married who have been together for a long time. And you live with somebody and you know who they are and what their pattern of behavior is. And when that pattern shifts, it's reasonable to wonder what that shift is about and to try to figure out why your partner is acting differently this week, this month, than they did last year. And so we love the people we're with, and we try to pay attention to them, and we have busy lives. But we need to have our antenna up because the people that we're with, we love them, we want to make them happy, so we do things to make them happy. And in addition, we should be attentive to their behavior to see if things are wrong, that they have a physical but an emotional problem that needs a little more attention and a few more questions.
And so let's say you, as a loved one of somebody who might have a problem, identify that. What do you do next?
You go to a doctor and you explain the symptoms and the problems and your concern.
Dirk Wales' website is getunhooked.net. I want to thank you for being with us in the Radio Cafe.
Well, I want to thank you for taking your time to make your listeners aware of this really serious problem in New Mexico, as well as in our country and our culture. Thank you.